to the Extra Magic Hour, a Disney Parks podcast. Here are your hosts, Anne Ravanos and Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome to the 78th edition of the Extra Magic Hour. I am Dimitri.
And I'm Kat.
And we are off and running with news for the week. Kat, where are we going to start?
We're going to start at attendance this summer.
Yes, I've seen these stories.
Yeah, so attendance is down this summer, and this is just kind of like a reason why it's happening, and this is nothing official from Disney World. It's just kind of speculation, I guess. But numbers have been lower this summer than usual, and there's a couple of reasons why. So Star Wars Land, everybody's waiting for Star Wars
right.
Land. I can guess that there are going to be a bunch of bookings once Star Wars Land is announced, like the date is announced.
I would agree with that completely.
Another reason says that international travel it says continues to stagnate, which I guess just means like it's just slowing down.
Yeah.
Because prices to travel for air across the ocean is expensive, and add that onto a 2-week vacation in Disney World, it can be pretty pricey.
Yeah, I would venture a guess that is a big part of it, because I think going U.S. to Europe is actually right now considerably cheaper than going the other way, because the dollar is so strong.
Okay, hold on. Sorry, my computer is like spazzing out right now. I'm having sound, but I have no idea where the video is coming from.
Well, we can't hear it on our end, so
that's good.
No need to freak out. But yeah, my understanding is there are plenty of options that are less expensive than they have been in a while, going from, say, U.S. to England, which I know is a big feeder for Disney in terms of international tourism, but it doesn't necessarily go the same way. Like, if your travel originates from England, it is not necessarily as cheap to come here.
Oh, okay. I think I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So also, and look, I've said this before, you know my theory. I think we are a very unwelcoming environment right now for international travelers. I'm not saying that is a significant reason, but I would not be surprised if that is not a reason that has slowed at least a percentage of people that would be coming otherwise.
I can agree with that too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell you that it is responsible for like even 25% of the people that are not coming to Disney, but I do think
right.
There is a percentage of people that are not coming for that reason.
No, I agree too.
All right. Go ahead.
So I was going to say some other reasons is because of the Disney park, the ticket like tier system. So
right.
Like tickets are more expensive during the summer than it is during fall or spring or, but then also it says that because of this, because of these. I keep losing my train of thoughts. because of these reasons, Disney has been trying to make it better by adding more special events like Photo Pass Day and having Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween in August. And then also they're lifting annual pass holder blackout dates for different rides, Universe of Energy and Great Movie Ride. And then they're also offering a lot of pass holder discounts for rooms.
You know, I think that they are probably overlooking a couple of obvious things. Number one, I think they really overplayed their hand with a tiered annual pass system. I really think that only is hurting them. I cannot see how it's helping them at all.
Yeah, I don't see that either.
The other thing I would say is, I mean, certainly the fact that you have one park that is charging full price admission to not be a full park is not helping it at all.
Yeah, especially with them closing the Great Movie Ride, there is nothing to do at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, I mean, look, I still count Midway Mania as one of my favorite attractions in the park, but it is one of these things. Anne and I are going to be down there next week. And I was just telling her the other day that it seems like we could go early enough in the morning that there's not a wait for Midway Mania, and then just spend, you know, a decent amount of time at the hotel before whenever we decide to go over to Epcot. I mean, there is almost no reason right now to take in an extended day or an extended period of time at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, like we're spending, we have the whole day at Hollywood Studios planned, but I don't know if we're going to actually be there when we go at the end of the month.
Yeah, we went, when we went down for the Princess Half Marathon, we went with some friends of ours, with my roommate in college and his wife, and they wanted to stay the entire day in Hollywood Studios, and we kept asking them why. Like, why is it so important you to spend the whole day there when you know what the you know what the situation is there, but you know, God love them, they did it. They made it from like 10 a.m. all the way till 9 p.m. or whenever it closed.
I mean, maybe that will be waiting in line for my favorite rides again. I don't know.
Yeah. So here's a question for you: what do you think they're going to do? Or maybe you have some news about this later on. But what do you think they're going to do to make up for the lack of great movie ride?
I'm glad you asked that, Dimitri. Perfect segue. So Disney announced earlier this week that they are going to open up the Grand Avenue, which, if no one knows what the Grand Avenue is, it's part of the old Streets of America, and they're making the front of these buildings and the street, I guess, look like... it says, inspired by the spirit of present-day downtown Los Angeles.
Huh.
And it's called the now-confirmed Grand Avenue Land, but it's not really a land because it doesn't have a ride or anything. It's only going to have a place to eat. But it's, like, the buildings are painted to kind of look like vintage office buildings and warehouses that are common in Los Angeles. But there, like I said, there was going to be a new restaurant. Well, kind of restaurant. It says Watering Hole.
This is where their beer garden is going in, I think, right?
Yeah. Baseline Tap House. And it's going to be a cheerful corner pub specializing in beers and wines from California.
That's weird. That is Grand Avenue, if I remember right, isn't that where Phineas and Ferb were? The meet and greet?
Oh, I think so, yes.
I will ask, because it doesn't really answer the question, what are they doing to make up for no Great Movie Ride? Because I don't know. I mean, Great Movie Ride had to be the attraction most people went on in the park. Not the most popular, but the one that could get the most people through.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because of the big ride vehicles could fit like a bunch of people. I don't know. I mean, I think this is not gonna be what they want it to be, I don't think. But there's gonna be foot traffic this way, so I guess that helps it a little bit.
I mean, there clearly are people. You know, this story actually highlights a couple of things. Number one, obviously they are not worried about whatever the park will be called once everything is open, because they know they have two properties attached in Toy Story and Star Wars that people are going to want to be a part of.
Yeah.
The other thing it highlights is how far behind schedule they are, because logic would tell you Streets of America should have been knocked down by now.
Well, so that's my question, too. So I didn't even know that this was a thing that was happening. So is Grand Avenue gonna like segue Toy Story Land into Star Wars Land, or like is it based, like are they gonna keep it?
Yeah, so whether or not they're gonna keep it, I don't know, but if they did, I guess it would really more segue Toy Story or Star Wars into the Muppets, if it's where I'm thinking it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, either way, that is really interesting. And, you know, also highlights sort of to tie these two stories together. I think it also highlights how Disney kind of got caught. What's the right way to say this? Because it's not like they got caught off guard. But I think how disappointed Disney must be with the pushback of the release of the Avatar sequels, because what was supposed to be their, you know, shot of adrenaline this summer just fell on deaf ears for the most part.
Yeah. That's true.
All right, what else is in the news?
Okay, so something exciting about Hollywood Studios, although it's still far from from our eyes seeing it, they completed the coaster, the Slinky Dog coaster track in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, I saw the video online today of the last piece of track going in.
Yeah, I thought that was very cool. I'm like nerdy like that though, so. but I think it's more of a confirmation, oh, hey, this actually is going to open in a year or less.
Right. Well,
whatever
see,
they mean, summer 2018.
It makes me wonder if the goal now is to get it open in less than a year because of just how depleted the studios are overall.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way Disney doesn't know its fans are disappointed with Hollywood Studios. So I feel like they should try to, like, step it up.
I do wonder, though, and, you know, I know that there are a lot of people that listen that are cheerleaders for the company and all that kind of stuff, and I know we all like the company for a reason, but I do wonder if Disney just doesn't care. Like, if Disney just knows we occupy this place in Americana where it's a rite of passage to go to Disney World, we're gonna be okay.
That's true, but they probably feel a little bit of both. They care, but they don't because they know they'll be okay.
Yeah, I would imagine probably what they care about is that the Universal parks are taking a little bit more of revenue away than they had been in the past.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, what else is in the news?
Okay, the last bit of news is a little bit sad, and I know a lot of people have reported on this, but I just think it's very important. The Disney Imagineer, Marty Sklar, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Sklar.
Yeah, passed away this past Thursday, and Dimitri, you said, and I didn't know this until you posted the article, but Marty is mostly the reason why these Disney parks happened. I mean, Walt and Roy, yes, they were there. It was Walt's idea. Roy helped finance it, but Marty is the one who made it come to life.
Right. I mean, think about, 75% of what is in the parks right now, and I'm just talking about, or I should say 75% of what's at the Walt Disney World Resort. So three of the four parks, Walt was not around for even conceptualizing what the attractions would be, right? Like,
right.
He had an idea of what Epcot would be, but in terms of the attractions, Marty kind of led the way on so much of that. And, you know, I think the most unfortunate thing, aside from the fact that Marty Sklar is dead, but one of the most unfortunate things about this is he was booed in his last public appearance.
What?
Did you know this?
No.
At D23, he was presenting he was presenting some slides, some video of the new scene of Pirates of the Caribbean going into Paris and what would be coming stateside. And he was talking about how, you know, he understands that there are people that really love this scene, but this is the kind of thing that Walt would be doing if Walt were still alive, and he got very heartily booed for it.
That is awful. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not, this is not me trying to say shame on anybody. I mean, well, yeah, I guess it kind of is, but obviously those people didn't know that Marty was going to be dead less than 2 weeks later. It's just, boy, that's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's the last interaction he had with the Disney fan community at large.
Yeah. Oh, that is awful.
Yeah. Well, I'm here to bring you down, Kat.
Yeah, of course.
All right, we've got plenty of your emails.
Hold on. Do you want to do the rumor
quick? Golly jeepers. I forgot all about the rumors.
It's okay.
Pardon my French.
It's kind of a small rumor. Okay, so there have been some Carousel of Progress rumors around, but the newest rumor, and this came out about a week ago, was that the Carousel of Progress is definitely going to get a new final scene as well as a new narrator.
Yes, I've heard this.
Yes, and so it says Disney has reached out to both Gene Hackman and Morgan Freeman. Apparently, Gene Hackman was flattered but declined, and nothing has been heard back from Morgan Freeman.
So where this rumor started, as I understand it, is Jim Hill started doing some digging when he saw where the Tron coaster was going to go, because initially the rumor said that it was going to go into where Tomorrowland Speedway is and go through what is now Carousel of Progress. But when that was not the case, he started asking around. Hackman has been retired from acting. I think Disney was hoping that that didn't necessarily include voice acting. But obviously it does. So that's why Hackman didn't do it. Morgan Freeman, he's doing something with Disney soon. Like, he's going to be in a movie with Disney soon. I can't remember what it is. And so it seems like it makes a lot of sense, right? He's got the most iconic voice in Hollywood right now.
Yes. There are still jokes about March of the Penguins around on pop culture media.
So I'm going to throw this out there. If you are doing a new scene, you're going to have to update the animatronics. There's no way you can get away with keeping those same old, awful-looking animatronics by comparison, right?
That's true, yes.
Do we change this to a black family?
Ooh.
Because, boy, then does the whole Carousel of Progress take on a very different... does Going Through the Ages take on a very different story?
That's true.
So
I feel like if it's Morgan Freeman who is narrating it, it should be a black family.
It would kind of be... It would kind of be disrespectful if it weren't, right?
Right.
Okay, well, I mean, look, I think that's interesting. I think that would definitely put some new life into the Carousel of Progress, because at this point, it needs so much more than a new final scene.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to keep it around. Okay, so this time we're good to go to break, right?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So we're going to do that right now. We'll come back with your emails inside the Extra Magic Hour.
Hey everyone, it's Kat. We all know planning a Walt Disney World vacation takes a lot of time and effort. You gotta choose a resort, book dining, and choose fast passes. Well, I want to take the stress out of your vacation. Book your vacation with me through Magical Travel and your trip planning will become as easy as pie. I'll take care of all the fine details for you at no additional cost. What's great about it is that you won't have to wake up early to get those hard-to-book reservations like Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Royal Table. I'll do my best to make your vacation the most fun and relaxing it can be. Even better, when you book a trip with me, I'll throw in a Disney gift card for you. Email me for a free quote at katarina@magicaltravel.com. That's katarina at magicaltravel.com. P.S. I also do all other Disney affiliates, so if you want to venture outside of the world, I will be able to help you there too. So what are you waiting for? Let's make your next trip magical.
All right. If you want to email us, you can do so. emhpodcast@gmail.com. I've got five to go through this week. Kat, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. The first one from Kelly in New Jersey. Hi, guys. Has anyone seen moderate resorts showing up on Priceline recently? A friend told me his family found Port Orleans on there for $100, but I can't find it. Kelly in New Jersey. I've heard this. I heard this. I also have not seen it, but I have not gone looking. But I have heard that some moderate resorts are popping up on Priceline Express right now.
I have not, because since I am a travel agent, I only book through the travel agent portal online.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I've heard this is the case. Probably going back to what we were talking about in the first segment of attendance is really off in August. I'm sorry.
I just found Disney's Art of Animation on there on Priceline.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
How much?
$143.
That is, well, that's not bad when you consider it's a double-sized room.
Well, that might be the Little Mermaid room.
True. Oh, true. They always give you the lowest price first.
Coronado Springs is $143.
All right, so if we've learned something, it is, Kelly, that your friend is right. They're on Priceline, but your friend's a liar about the price. All right, the next one from Sandy in Georgia. Hello, what was everyone's favorite announcement from D23? I love the Tron announcement because it means Magic Kingdom is getting bigger and more cool stuff is coming in the future.
I don't know. I'm pretty excited about the Star Wars Hotel. I honestly don't know if I will ever do it.
Right.
But I think the idea can it will expand not only in Disney World, but like other resorts too, like Universal. I think I would definitely do, and sorry if this is sacrilege to say on a Disney podcast, I think I'd more likely do a Harry Potter immersed hotel than a Star Wars immersed hotel.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they also announce a Marvel immersive hotel for California?
You know what? I think they did. And I would be more willing to do the Marvel immersive hotel than Star Wars.
As you know, I'm a big Star Wars guy. So I also, if you're asking me what my single favorite thing was, it was the Star Wars hotel announcement. I was thinking about this, though, just today while I was on a walk. I could see, as cool as this sounds, I could see by day two getting very annoyed that you cannot go out of your room without being part of the story.
Yeah, I can. I like being part of all the action, so I don't think I would get annoyed with it, but I can see why some people would.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, not like when you go to the lobby, but like if you're just going to, you know, you want a midnight snack or something like that, there would have to be this feeling at some point of, can't I just get a Rice Krispie treat without having to defend the Empire?
That I get that. I do understand that.
All right, the next one from Molly in, I guess, also in Georgia. Hi, gang. Last month, I went for a late-night run through Animal Kingdom Lodge property and felt really unsafe. I don't know why. Maybe the presence of animals. Maybe how active all the roads on that property are. I was wondering if there are places you or other listeners feel unsafe on property. I would say running at night anywhere in Florida makes me feel unsafe because there are monsters in Florida.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking of the road sign you saw.
Right. But, you know, I have always said that at night, if you come out of the bathrooms at the Imagination Pavilion, there is no light over there at all. And when you come out of a brightly lit bathroom into the pitch black darkness, that is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
That's true. I don't know. When it's like later at night and I'm like, let's say we're coming back from a park at like midnight or something, for some reason we're out at the park at midnight, I do feel a little uneasy walking back to my hotel room, but that's just because I am a worrywart, and I think the worst things can happen. Because, like, I mean, the hotel, like, everything is lit up. Like, even though the food court is closed and the gift shops are closed, it's not like you're completely alone. But I don't know.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it is those long stretches of nothing where your mind starts to wander a little bit, right? Like, when the year, this is, oh, I think this might have been 13. We stayed in the cabins at Fort Wilderness, and you know, some nights late at night you're taking the golf cart from the main food area, Davy Crockett's, back to your room, back to your cabin. Like, it does strike you how quiet everything is. And I don't know if that feels dangerous, but you certainly feel very alone in those moments.
Yeah.
But Disney World property is so, especially where the hotels are, they're so separated from the rest of the city. It would be hard for me to imagine feeling like someone is there lurking, waiting to get you.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's see. Next. Oh, shoot. Hang on one second. Just lost my page. There we go. The next one from Pete in Florida. Who was the guy you had on last year talking about the best places to have sex in the parks, and what did he say? His name was Leonard Kinsey. His book is The Dark Side of Disney, and I believe he just said lock the doors at the family bathrooms, if I recall correctly.
Yes, that's what I remember, too.
So there you go. I guess a little less daring, but the goal is not to get caught. The goal is not to get caught. All right, the last one is from Marianne in Kentucky. Hey, guys, have you seen the Save the Redhead hashtag on social media? I'm guessing it pisses you guys off since everything has to be PC for Dimitri. Was looking right at my name and misspelled it. I appreciate people sharing their memories. It reminds us why it is important that Disney not change these rides. I've seen the hashtag, but I haven't really seen, I haven't seen anybody saying that this ride is not allowed to be changed.
I agree. Also, hello, fellow Kentuckian. That was my first thought when you said Kentucky before I heard the rest of the what you were saying.
Your people, Kat.
I know. It's Kentucky. What can I say? I don't think... I mean, I guess part of it is politically correct, but, like, don't you want a B.A. pirate girl? Hello? Like, I don't even care that it's not a auction bride scene. I'm excited that it's finally a woman pirate. And there were historically women pirates, so why not put that in historically accurate... or make the ride historically accurate.
Right. I don't think the right term is PC if you are making it just not offensive, right? If you're just making it not gross, PC would be the wrong word for it.
Yes.
Now, certainly there is some element of that driving this, but I think we talked about this when the news first broke, and I know we talked about it earlier in the show with the Marty Sklar, with his presentation at D23, the plan all along was for a woman pirate to be a part of this, right? Because it's based on Anne Bonny, who was an actual female pirate, that I think sailed with Calico Jack Roberts, I think, if I remember right. But yeah, I mean, like, Anne Bonny is a legendary pirate. It's not like this is Disney trying to shove a female character in a context that doesn't make sense just for the sake of getting a female character in there. I mean, these kind of things really did happen.
Yeah.
As for the Save the Redhead hashtag, I mean, to me, I am way less offended by the fact that there are people that want this scene of sex slavery in Pirates of the Caribbean than I am, and Kat, you know this about me, than I am offended by the fact that people take these rides as like pages out of the Bible. These things can be changed. They should be changed, because if they never change, they become boring.
Yeah.
So that's my feeling on the Save the Redhead thing. Although I think I have seen some fans have created some pretty cool Save the Redhead t-shirts out there. So be on the lookout for that, your various crappy Facebook t-shirt ads.
I'm just thinking Save the Redhead. I, like, wasn't even thinking the pirates when you first read that. I was thinking, like, Save the Redheads because we're a dying breed.
Oh, I forgot about that. I wonder if that hashtag is so strong because there are a ton of people that know nothing about what's going on with Pirates of the Caribbean. But you people are dying off.
Yes.
Little by little. Is your husband a redhead?
No.
Oh, you'll have
to. And I don't know. We don't know if there's any redheads in his genes. So I'm hoping when we do have kids, we have little ginger babies.
I hope you do, too, so I can make fun of them.
Okay, well, wouldn't expect any less.
All right. If you have questions you want to email us, please do emhpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. And one of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
The Extra Magic Hour is just about over. But first, it's time for the glorious 3-hour finale.
All right, just about to wrap up the show for this week, but I wanted to jump back, Kat, to a conversation we were having a couple weeks ago when David Mumpower was our guest about, augmented reality and how that might affect Disney's future, especially in the theme parks. Now, augmented reality is something you've seen it applied, like in Pokemon Go, where these apps, these developers have placed games, have placed a virtual world on top of the real world. So you have to have your device to experience this. I thought David asked an interesting question of, could there be a day where we see more people visiting the parks in some sort of augmented way than actually walking around and experiencing everything going on?
I think they could, but at a price.
Yeah, I think the question to me would be less about what happens with people in the parks. Like, it would be less about, has Disney created some sort of game where you can put on whatever the next iteration of, like, Google Glass, right, or something like that is. I think that is far less likely than, do we see the day where Disney says, all right, the parks, the physical parks, are for people of a certain income level, and for everybody else, you can put on your, you know, your VR headset and visit the virtual park.
I think, okay, hold on. Go back just a little bit.
Okay.
So, put on your whatever the face mask is for the virtual reality part. Can you go back to right before that?
So, what I'm saying is, like, I think we all acknowledge right now that Disney World and Disneyland have priced themselves at such a premium that they really have cut out a pretty large segment of people that just cannot afford to go now, or at least cannot afford multiple trips, right?
Yeah.
So, do we see the day where Disney just says, you know, F it, this is the road we're going down with the physical parks, we will create a virtual version of the parks that anybody can go to anytime they want to experience it, but in terms of the physical tickets to get into the physical location in Lake Buena Vista or in Anaheim, it is going to cost you a premium.
Yeah, I think if that's what happened, or if that's what Disney were to do, it would definitely be a premium price. And I think that to make it work, they would probably have to, like, I don't know, because I think of, like, the virtual reality. So my brother-in-law has, like, one of those goggles where you, like, stick your phone in it and walk around. I feel like Disney would have to record the parks in the morning, afternoon, and at night, like, so that you could, like, oh, I want to go visit the parks right now.
Right.
Put them on, and it's 9:40 at the parks right now, so, well, okay, then it'd be closed. But, like, it'd be dark at the park. So it's dark where you are, and it's dark at the park.
Sure. No, I understand exactly what you're saying. I also wonder, though, is there an opportunity for Disney to do something even bigger than that, where maybe in the virtual version of the Magic Kingdom, you are really living through Pirates of the Caribbean as a character rather than just living through riding it?
Ooh.
Because I think if we got to this point where, you know, David talked about the movie Ready Player One, which the trailer debuted at Comic-Con last week, where, you know, it's a story about kids that all plug into this virtual world and they go to various famous pop culture kind of worlds. Well, Disney is certainly a company set up to thrive if that ever became the reality, right? I mean, they own Star Wars, they own the Pixar universe, they own Marvel, etc., etc. It does seem like if Disney got to a point where they wanted to really do a virtual augmented version of their park, some sort of augmented world, boy, they could really make it a you have to do this if you are a Disney fan kind of experience.
Yeah, No, that makes sense. I didn't see I've only seen like silent versions of the Ready Player One, so I kind of know what it's about just as I was scrolling through Facebook.
Yeah.
I think if this augmented reality thing was to happen, Disney would be the first one to accomplish it.
I'm going to disagree with you because I think this augmented reality thing is going to happen because I don't see how you could do Nintendo World any other way.
Do you think Universal's going to get it first?
I do. I mean, maybe Disney realizes this and maybe they're working. You know, this could be one of those things the Imagineers are working on and we just don't know it yet, right?
Yeah.
But it seems to me a world built around an environment built around a universe that is its whole thing is that it's interactive. You have to do more than just deliver rides if you're going to make Nintendo into a theme park, right? I mean, that doesn't seem crazy to me.
No, I agree.
It does seem like as immersive as Star Wars Land or whatever they're calling it now, Galaxy's Edge, is going to be, like that just seems like 2.0. That's the only thing that could be 2.0. of Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's an interesting conversation, but it's a conversation that, like, we can't possibly have in, what are we at now, like a 6-minute window.
Yeah.
Because you are clearly hearing two people that can only talk at the very base level about anything, what we call computer stuff. but B, like, the possibilities are endless, and the updates to it, what those could be, those possibilities are endless as well. So let's put a pin in it for now. We will pick this conversation up another day with someone much smarter than either Kat or I. So for now, we're done. We'll see you later.
Bye.